He said, the inheritance is in the water. And I said, Lord, you got to bring me more than that. And of course he did. Amen. So we're going to take us a little journey today. Amen. And we're going to begin in John chapter 7. And we're going to begin in verse 37. He said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, you know you're not going to drink a natural earthly substance, but you are going to drink because it's your spirit man drinking spiritual water. You're around here, you know you're a dual citizen. Amen. You are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now, you may not know fully about the operation of your spiritual man. You might not have been taught, but you are a spirit first. You're a spiritual being. That's the person God deals with. That's the person that God operates through. And it's a spiritual being is the one that connects with God. Not your natural mind, will, and emotions. You cannot connect with God like that. Your mind doesn't connect with God. Some people think their minds connect with God. He'll use your mind, but you're connecting with your spirit. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out, say out. He didn't say in. He said out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever had any water flow out of your belly? He's not talking about your belly. He's not talking about your belly as your belly. He's talking about your spirit. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The way you really should read it, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And notice the word shall flow. Say flow. That means that until they start flowing, nothing's going to happen. Now he also goes on to say in 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost had not been given. We've been over and over this verse and all around it. And I'm going to bring you into something very new today. It's awesome. It's a master key. The Lord's been giving us a lot of keys on how the kingdom works. He's going to put all these keys together and they're going to open a big old door. Some doors require more than one key to open in the kingdom. Sometimes you need three or four or five master keys. The bigger doors of God, the ones you really want, require more keys because one key won't open them. Amen. Now, we know that Jesus was the appointed heir of the Father when he was raised from the dead and God set him at his own right hand. I've got to just review for a minute or two to take you where I'm going. He entered into the right hand of God. He received the inheritance of the Father. He said, all power in heaven and in earth has now been given to me as the appointed heir of the Father. We see in Revelation chapter 5 what he received additionally to that power. He said, worthy is the Lamb to have received power, riches. That means all power in heaven and earth, all riches in heaven and earth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He received all that as the appointed heir of the Father. He received a lot more than that. He said when he ascended on high, he received gifts. The Father gave him the full government of God. The Father gave him the gifts, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, government, diversity of tongues. He received the church, the gifts that he was going to give to men. All that he received. And he actually summarizes all of this in one word. He said, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Say, fullness. Now, he received the fullness in the right hand of God. But it also says in John chapter 1, of his fullness we have received. Let's go over for a minute to John chapter 4. Now, I want you to remember, now we also spoke about how the Holy Spirit, in review, he was sent into the right hand of God. The Father sent him, remember? You should remember, I'd say it every day. The Father sends him into the right hand of God. And Jesus says in John 16, says, he, the Holy Ghost, would receive of mine. In case you wanted to know what he received, he said, all things the Father has is mine. Speaking of Jesus, I got it all. I'm the appointed heir. He goes, he gave it all to me, but he would receive everything the Father gave to me. Or you could say he received the inheritance that Jesus received on our behalf. How many of you know the Bible says you are a partaker of the heavenly calling? You're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. It says, whereby we have received an inheritance. Jesus received it. What we're trying to figure out is how to get that inheritance he received down here. We're all going to walk in it up there when we get there. But when we get there, we need it now. We live here in the earth. We need to see the inheritance of what he received. The blessings, the demonstrations, the glory, the power, the wisdom, the honor, the glory, all that he received, we need it here. And we've been steadily on this path of how to get what you received down here. So we knew the Holy Spirit was sent into the right hand. Jesus hands him the inheritance. He said he would receive of mine all things the Father has is mine. Then he's going to show it to you. He's going to declare it first. He's going to disclose it. What's that mean? He's going to tell you what's in that inheritance. And then he's going to transmit it. When the transmitting takes place, is he takes the spiritual inheritance and he manifests it. He has to bring it through you, okay? Because it begins as spiritual. In order for God to bring what he received in the right hand of God, he has to transmit that through us into the earth. And once it gets through us, and the Holy Spirit's the one doing this. That's why he come to live inside you. He's the agent of transference. He's going to materialize and he's going to manifest. That's his job. We got to work with him. That's why in John 7 he said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. That's not water in the earth. That's living water that's coming out of the right hand of God. It's coming out in the form of inheritance. That's another word. Out of your belly shall flow the full inheritance of the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit's going to transmit it into the earth through you. If you know who you are, what you're doing, and where you're going. If you're trained to operate in the flesh, you'll operate in the flesh. If you're trained to operate by your mind, you'll operate by your mind. If you are trained to operate by your spirit, you will operate in the spirit. He's going to get the living waters, the fullness of that inheritance. The Holy Spirit is here to download it into the earth. He's going to transmit it. Out of your belly shall flow. The big word there is flow. Because while it's in your innermost being or the kingdom of God within you, it's not manifesting. It's not going to manifest until it gets out. It's got to get out. That's where we are right now. We got the Holy Ghost. We've been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost is a whole lot more than that prayer language he brings. But that prayer language he brings is awesome. I grew up, cut my teeth on that. But he brought the full inheritance and he brought the living water. That's why he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Because there's multiple rivers in his inheritance. And it's got to break out of you first. And when it releases out of you, the Holy Spirit begins this miraculous transformation of spiritual water. And he begins to manifest and materialize it here in the earth and makes it of the substance of the earth. That means that blessing might come in the form of spiritual, but when it starts flowing, that favor will start materializing. Business favor for you. Open and effectual doors, goodness and mercy. He'll start materializing blessings here. He'll materialize, I hope more than that, he'll materialize healing glory. Creative miracles. He'll materialize a wealth transference. He'll materialize a full-blown revival of creative miracles. He'll materialize the peace of God in you. The love of the Father, wisdom. He's brought the inheritance. But we got to get it to flow. Amen. Okay, go to John 4. Now listen, because this water in you is spiritual water, it's not water, it's spiritual. He just uses terminology you can understand. It's a spiritual inheritance that's got to flow like a river out of you. It's got to flow. It can't sit still. If it sits still, it won't do you any good. It won't do the earth any good. It has to come through you. Thus the big problem. God gets all this inheritance. He paves the way. But he gets it in us. He sends the Holy Ghost in us. And the Holy Ghost runs around with all the sons and daughters of God. Say, would somebody let me loose? John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about the well of water, Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. This is one of the most powerful one-liners in the Bible. But the water that I will give him shall be in him. Say, it's in me. It's a well of water springing up into or springing up with everlasting life. Remember, it said, out of your belly or your innermost being would flow rivers. The Holy Spirit is simply transmitting that water that Jesus received for you. But that water he's talking about is the inheritance he received on your behalf at the right hand of God. He said, I'll put it in you because I'm in you. The kingdom of God is within you. And it's a well. It's deep within you. It's a well of water that will spring up, but this water's like nothing else you've ever seen, because when it starts springing up, it'll start doing things in the earth that cannot be done by natural man. If you can get it out of your well, water in a well does you no good unless you drink it. Water in a well does you no good unless you serve it. If we had a well right here, I could look at that water all day and say, woo, look at that water. That water's different. Because whether the Lord spoke to me, he said, the inheritance is in the water. The water is the inheritance. The inheritance is in you. Are y'all ready? Okay, go to Genesis. Genesis 26. In Revelation 21:6, on your way to Genesis, I'll just read from you from Revelation. He said, I will give unto him that is of a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. One thing about a fountain, it never runs dry. It's always an eternal well. What the Lord started showing me last night is how to tap the well. He said, the first thing I need from you, son, is to know you have an inheritance. The second thing you need to know is the Holy Spirit brought it with him. The third thing you need to know is that inheritance comes in the form of a big, eternal wellspring of water that's living inside you. And it has everything you'll ever need in that inheritance. It has your life, your calling, your destiny, wisdom, favor, grace, power, glory, riches, honor, favor. It has it all in there. I put it in there. It's in the form of a spiritual inheritance, but I'm going to cause it to come forth out of your belly. And when it does, it's going to break out and the Holy Ghost is going to manifest and materialize it here where you need it. Everyone say amen. We are not being trained by the Holy Ghost to operate like men here. We are being trained to operate as sons and daughters of the living God. And there is a difference. You're trained to operate like a man, you're going to get man's results. That's not what we're looking for. That's not what he's teaching us. We're coming into the age of demonstration again, where the kingdom of heaven will come at hand, where the kingdom of heaven will manifest before humanity. We got to understand the mysteries by which this kingdom unlocks. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land. How many of you know the earth right now with the shakings in the natural is headed for famine. Spiritual famine, natural famine, already in parts, it's already. Even our own government knows something. Go to the food suppliers that, you know, the ones that supply the meals and things. You can buy the prepackaged food that has 10, 20 year shelf lives. You can call them right now. You know how much they're backed up? Some are backed up 180 days now because contracts have been given to buy up all their food supplies. A lot of things people know, but that's not for us to be afraid. Because it is for us to be prepared. But God does his greatest work in the midst of famine if you know him. If you don't know him, you're going to be in big trouble. You got a foot in the world and a foot over here. When it shows up, you're going to say, what happened? You got to use the times of peace and goodness to learn about him. So when the times of famine show up, you'll be part of God's solution, not a part of the problem. You'll be an asset, not a liability. Unfortunately, a lot of God's people that are supposed to be assets are going to be liabilities because they did not take the time to get to know him. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now, you need to understand about Abraham because this is very important, because Isaac was on his way to follow in the footsteps of his father when his father had a famine. His father had a famine, and when Abraham had a famine, Abraham went down to Egypt, and God led him. God told him, go to Egypt. All right? So Isaac's on his way to Egypt. He's kind of going down, and he actually camps out in Gerar. He finds himself in the Gerar, and he's on his way on to Egypt because that's what his father did, and we just follow the footsteps of our father. Now, God led Abraham to Egypt for a reason. Because Egypt did things a little differently than everybody else did. Because Egypt was a very dry, arid land, but they had a beautiful Nile River that flowed from the mountains of Africa. And it had a kind of a wellspring at the top, and it flowed. So the Egyptians, they stopped looking for the water coming down. And they learned how to irrigate the water that was already there. That's what Abraham was there to learn, and that's why Isaac was there with him to learn what Abraham was learning. When the water's not flowing down, see, when God visits, through his visitation, he comes down. But, you know, when the visitation comes down and lifts, it's like rain. It falls and it stops. That's not what we're looking for. We want to tap into something that's very deep, that's always there. Amen? If we're depending on rain to come down, we're going to be in trouble. We don't know when it's going to rain. In famines, it don't rain very much. Because the inheritance is in the water. Nothing's going to grow. Nothing's going to multiply. Nothing's going to increase unless that water comes down. If that's your only source of when God moves, when he shows up, we're going to be in trouble unless we can connect to the wellspring that's always there. Amen? And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Gerar was the last city before you go down to Egypt. Isaac was already on his way down there. And the Lord appeared to him, verse 2. It says, go not down to Egypt. Why did he tell him that? Because he was following his father. He said, I know your father went to Egypt in his famine, but that's not what I'm going to have you do in your famine. In fact, I'm going to tell you, stay right here. What happens when we get in trouble? Head for the mountains. God telling Isaac, you stay right here. Told him to camp out in the famine. With me, I'm out of here. But he tells him to camp because I'm going to do something extraordinary in the famine. Amen. Now watch this. To go down in Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. I will be with thee. Now notice what he says, I will bless thee. How many times did God actually do that? We're in the famine. He says, don't go anywhere. Sit down. How many every time the circumstance comes, we want to run. Every time it gets backward, we want to run. But God said, no, sit down. And I will bless thee. What's the first thing God says when he starts bringing? When all this stuff starts happening, one thing God does is he's very prominent in his blessing. He says, I'll bless you. He'll come to you with promise. That's what he's doing to Isaac. He goes, stay right here in the midst of the famine. I said, God, it's a famine. It's not raining. It's hot. There's no produce. There's no life. It's a famine. I want out of here. God does his greatest works in famines. Some of us right now in spiritual famines. Some of you are in natural famines. It's very uncomfortable in a famine. You want to run. You get visions of lush oases. You get visions of beaches, you know. Man, my early days, every time I entered a famine, I would run. I'd pack up and run. It wouldn't take me nothing at all. I didn't have very much. So I could just pack it up pretty fast. I'd just take off to another city. And then there would be a famine there. And then I'd take off. And the Lord said, you can't run from this. I want to teach you how to operate. That's what he was doing. He said, sit right down here in this famine. And here's what God does in the famine. He brings you his promises. He'll tell you he'll bless you. I don't want him telling me he's blessing me. I want him to bless me. How many times God keeps telling you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. It doesn't look like it. Where is it? When's it coming? That's what happens. And God comes back, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, right in the middle of the famine. Now here's where it gets really good. Verse 12. It said, Isaac. Now this is remarkable. Began to sow in that land. And he received the same year 100-fold. It's the only time 100-fold was mentioned in the Old Testament. And it has a lot to do with the mystery behind it of how to release the 100-fold in the New Testament. Isaac sowed. Now you got to get to understand, there is parched, dry ground. And God says, start planting. Plant your crops. Could you imagine the king, the Philistine king Abimelech and his guys coming out and they're saying, all the herdsmen, what are you doing? Don't you know there is a famine and you're planting? It's kind of like Joseph when there was goodness, he was storing up. Well, here Isaac, he starts planting in the midst of a famine on dry, parched ground. There's no rain. But Isaac had what you would call back then a modern day witty invention. While the Philistines are waiting for the rain to come out of heaven, Isaac knew how to get the water out of the earth. And he learned it from his father when he went down to Egypt. In fact, he went to go unplug the wells of his father. That his fathers had dug a long time ago. Abraham had dug these wells. And Isaac knew how to get that water. It was one of the reasons they were so blessed. He received 100-fold blessing. The only time it's mentioned in the Old Testament. And it was because he could find the water. When the Lord began to speak to me, he said, son, if you must learn how to find the water that's in your well. It does no good being in your well. It's got to come up out of your well, because that water is going to bring life. It's going to be multiplied, and the inheritance that you're looking for is in the water, but it's not in the water down there. It's when it comes up and gets into the earth. That's where it's going to happen. If you don't get that water up out of you, you're not going to see what you've been looking for. Oh, now, if you know that, you can know your enemy knows it. All right? Keep that thought in mind. Now, let's watch this. Verse 13. And the man waxed great. He went forward. This is a famine. You're either going to be a recipient of the famine or you're going to overcome and be on the top. I am determined. Don't try to shove off what's coming to the earth. and say, oh, no, it won't mess with me. Listen, what's coming on the earth will affect everybody unless they're rooted very deeply in another kingdom. You're going to have to be determined. You're going to be the head and not the tail. When all this stuff starts happening, you can actually be the head. God will make you the head when you've got water flowing. What you don't understand about the invisible water on the inside of you is the waters of the kingdom of God that procure favor, blessings, promotion. The waters, the living waters flow. What you don't know that when these things start flowing, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't know what's happening with that invisible water. God's actually causing manifestations of favor and goodness, and things are happening. You don't know why they're happening. But if you don't let that water flow, then you're confined to what's called the sweat of the brow. And when you do things by the sweat of the brow, that's very hard labor to get the result. That's why when you're full of the Holy Ghost, He's causing the waters to flow. And those waters break out, things start happening. You don't know why they're happening. I'm telling you why, because the inheritance is in the water. And when that water, when you start being full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit starts drawing the waters of inheritance up out of the wells, and He starts breaking it out in the atmosphere. That water is living water. Out of your belly flows rivers. That water has favor in it. That water has promotion in it. That water has blessings in it. That water has power in it. It's invisible, but it starts manifesting into the realm of visibility when it's flowing. Amen? So Isaac got this water flowing. Now look at this. Oh, I like it. Verse 14, he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants, and a famine, by the way. You could say, I've been debt free. There's millions of dollars that are multiplying. My investments are multiplying when everybody else's are not. Now he's going to tell you how he got it. Watch this. This is awesome. He said, in the possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants. And the Philistines, look at this, verse 14, envied him. Let me tell you something. The world's not going to envy you unless you got something. This generation, if you're going to be the envy of the world system, I can assure you, you better have something. The world is not impressed with the church's prosperity right now. Most of the prosperity of the church is the ministers that are getting really good at getting all the money out of the people. That's not God's prosperity. That's just drawing money out of the purse of other people. God's prosperity will cause the envy of the world because they'll see the blessing on you. In fact, we're going to see this in a minute. The king comes out of his castle and goes to meet with Isaac and says, what is going on? How are you doing this? You're going to get the king's attention. You're going to have some water of inheritance. The good news is the waters of inheritance is an eternal wellspring on the inside of us. It's an inheritance that we got to get the Holy Spirit to draw up. We got to get Him to draw up. Now watch this. Now He tells you how to do it. Verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with the earth. The devil knew a long time ago to stop you. All he's got to do is just stop your well. Don't really care if you come to church. Just stop the well of living water flowing out of you. You can come to church, you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can know about the well. Just don't let it flow. And if he sees a flowing well, know for a certainty he's coming after it. He's going to try to stop it up with the earth system. He's going to try to bury that well with the earth system. The Philistines, the world system, wants one thing to stop your well. You're not dangerous unless that water flows up out of you. You can be a spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking, I mean full of wisdom and all of that. But if your water's not flowing, it's been stopped. You're not full of the Holy Ghost. Your water's not flowing and the well's been stopped. You're not dangerous. Church is not dangerous. That's why when any church, the well starts flowing, or some person, I mean the enemy, just comes at them. Because he's coming after the water. He just wants to stop the water. Because he knows what's in it. His kingdom cannot defend against that water. He has no defense. That water's living water. And when it starts flowing up, the Holy Spirit starts this transmitting process, this manifestation process. When he does, things start happening. He has no defense for. The only defense he has is to stop your will. That's good. You can say amen on that. I know that's good. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. You're going to have to be an Isaac here. You're going to be blessed. This is how he got the hundredfold. They're telling you how he did it. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, this is the king, go out from us. Get out. You're too blessed. Get out of town. Man, I can't wait for the day they tell me that. It says, for thou art much mightier than we are. You ever heard the world system talk to the church like that? Not yet. Verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. He's still in the famine, but man, the dude is blessed. And the reason is he's finding water, and his water's flowing when no one else is flowing. If you, and the Lord told me to tell you this last night, he said, you tell them this, you tell them, he said, write it down and tell them. He said, tell them if they're going to be blessed with what's coming, they are going to have to find the water within their well, and they're going to have to get that water flowing. Just because you're born again, just because you're spirit-filled, just because you've got a well of water, if you don't get that well flowing, it will do you no good with what's coming. There are a lot of Christians that are going to fall under the weight of what's coming. Don't be misunderstood. Don't be lullabied to sleep right now. The world is shaking, and it's coming to this nation. You got to know there's a shaking coming. We are not to be afraid, but we must be prepared. If our water is flowing, we are going to be the head and not the tail. We're going to be above only in the midst of a famine. If our water's not flowing, you can be swept into the circumstance. Because the blessing that's over this nation has made it so easy for everybody. That is being invaded right now in a massive way. There are forces that want to break this nation down. This is God's nation. It's absolutely God's nation. And God's people, the true church, is going to rise in the midst of the shaking and truly show the world. The Lord told me, boy, he shook me up last night. He said, you better get a hold of your well. You better start activating your well. You better get the water flowing. Don't be asleep. Paul said, be sober. You got to know that well is there. And you got to know how to get it to flow. That's why we're here to help you. Verse 18. So Isaac digged again the wells of water. Say, dig again. You're going to have to dig again and dig again and dig again. Because once you dig, the enemy's coming after your well. Watch what happens in verse 18. Which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. The devil's coming after your well. You got to know it. You guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues. Flows the issues of life. The guarding of your heart is the guarding to keep your well flowing. The enemy wants to plug you up. He's got a lot of things to do it with. You got to know how he does and how he operates. It's what's in you that makes you dangerous. But you're not dangerous if it's still in you. It's got to get out. It's got to flow. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Whew. You see? All right. Look at verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley. Even if you're in a valley, there's water. Not only was he in a famine, the devil kicked him out of the city. You're not living in the city in famine. You're going to the valley. Kicked him out into the valley. Now, not only is he in a famine, but he's in a valley in a famine. Now, most of us, when we get kicked out into a famine, we start boldly complaining. And then we go to the valley, we really start boldly complaining. Why, God, am I in this dreadfully awful circumstance? But Isaac didn't do that. He sent his servant out, start digging. Find the water and you'll be all right. Doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. Doesn't matter what's coming on this planet. You find the living water, you're going to be all right. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Isaac's servants digged in the valley. Now look at verse 20. It's the second time they've digged. They got kicked out of the city. I'm telling you, the blessing of God is going to come on you. He's going to get the devil's attention. Verse 20, and the herdsmen of Gerard did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. Yeah, that's just like the devil, isn't it? You get the flowing and he says, that's my water. He wants your water when it's flowing. Don't care about it, what's in the ground. It starts flowing. A blessing comes on you. I'm telling you, I am determined to find that blessing. I've always wondered how these men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, different men, they just, even men in our generation, they get this blessing on them. And when you get this kind of blessing going, I'm telling you, it don't matter what the enemy does to you. You'll just start prospering. You prosper everywhere. And then there's people that never prosper. Some people just prosper with ease. There's more than just prosperity. I mean, there's flow and power and everything. I want the secret of that blessing. I don't want to just have it on my life. I want to know how it works so I can teach everybody else. But the inheritance is in the water. But you got to get the water out. That's why God never did anything with anybody unless they were full of the Holy Ghost. Not baptized, say full. You notice every time you read in the New Testament, they were full of the Holy Ghost. Pick you out men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost. Peter being full of the Holy Ghost. Paul being full of the Holy Ghost. Why did these things happen for them? Because they were full. That means the water was coming up out of the well and filling. And we began to fill. The atmosphere started breaking out. The Holy Ghost was manifesting the living water with power and glory. The inheritance is in the well. It's in the water. Man, you got to get a hold of this. Don't wait for the circumstance to come. Don't wait for the tsunami to come. Do you know that the food disappeared from the shelves in one day after the tsunami? Food disappeared completely from the shelves. Do you think that it's going to get any better? Look at the progression of earthquakes, tsunamis, everything. Natural disasters. The earth is shaking. It's going through birth pains right now. Do you understand the earth was subjected to the law of sin and death like you were? That's why when you get old, your hair falls out. You look in the shower and say, oh, no. The earth was supposed to be eternal. When it got subjected to the law of sin and death, it dies like you do. Your death is like 100 years if you're good. You know, the earth's been living like that for 6,000 years. It's starting now to feel the aging effects of the law of sin and death. It's breaking it down. And things are starting to happen. It doesn't hold together like it did. A lot of the natural disasters is simply because the earth is in birth pains. It's groaning for a new heaven. It's groaning for a new earth. It's groaning for God to do what he's going to do with our glorified body. Clothe me in life again. A lot of that's just natural stuff happening. It's groaning to be clothed again. We're going to live in a time where it's all going to converse together. But we're going to have life and the whole earth's going to be filled with glory again. Because the water's going to come out of the wells of God's people. Everyone put your hand on your belly. Say, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Out of my belly flows rivers. Rivers of inheritance, rivers of joy, rivers of peace, rivers of prosperity, rivers of power, rivers of glory, rivers of wisdom, spring up, oh well, spring up. I got to show you how to get your well open. Amen. You don't open a well like this in the natural. You're going to have to open it God's way. You're going to get your well. Some of we got a lot of rocks on our well. Verse 21, look what happened. The herdsmen of Gerar strove, said the water's ours. Verse 21, you're going to always have persecution when your water's flowing because the devil wants your water. He wants to steal your wellspring. The good news is it's an eternal wellspring. And the Holy Ghost is in control of the faucet with your faith. What you don't know is your faith is the only thing that can draw the water out of the well. I'm liking it. Look at verse 21. And they digged another well. And they strove with that one also. In verse 22, they removed from there and digged another well. Listen, while you're a little young in the process, you're going to dig and the enemy's going to come out. He's going to try to stop your well. When we're a little immature and we're not advancing these things, he stops our well. We don't know. We got to dig again. But when we start getting mature, after you've dug a few times, you learn to protect the well that you've dug. Because it's your blessings in your well. But the blessing's not the well inside you. It's the water that gets out. It's the water that flows. If it don't flow, nothing's going to happen. Man, I'll tell you, I went through the roof when he showed me this last night. Notice verse 22. They removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. Isaac got to the place he could keep his well, guard his well. He got enough maturity to know that, hey, look, guys, if you dig the well and don't protect the well, the enemy's going to stop the well. That's what happens to revival. Some people get tapped into their well and it starts flowing. But they don't protect the well and they don't know the enemy's coming after it to stop it. The Lord said, the most valuable thing I've ever given you is in living on the inside of you in the form of an inheritance called living water. And until you learn to value it and understand it, you're going to have trouble. But once you get that flowing, I'm going to make everything good. So finally, verse 22, Isaac gets to the place. And they strove not and called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. You're not going to truly get fruitful. This is where the hundredfold came. You're not truly going to get fruitful until you keep your well flowing. Now drop down to verse 26 just real quick. Like this. Now Abimelech, the king, he went out from Gerar. He kicked Isaac out of Gerar. And then he saw Isaac was prospering out in the valley. Nobody prospers in the valley. He goes out into the valley in a famine and said, hey, what's going on with you? I'm bringing all my kings with me. When you start getting the attention of the world system, you're going to start demonstrating God's goodness. See, he brought his friends with him. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name. Verse 26. And Isaac said in verse 27, wherefore have you come to me, seeing you hate me? They hate you at first. Then they like you. It's amazing how many people that will hate you when you start getting blessed will start liking you again. Hey, when you're in famine and somebody's out there prospering and nobody else is prospering, you can go find out what's happening with them. You see how that works? That's why the famine that's coming upon the world is the greatest time for God to show himself up with his people that know how to draw the well out. Because they're going to light up the world. And everybody's going to know, nobody, everyone's falling apart, but you're not. And then you tell them why. Amen? Oh, I'm determined to be in position. How about you? I'm determined to get it on me.
I want his eternal well. I want the good stuff. Verse 28 said, look at this. We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Amazing. They didn't see that when he kicked them out of the city. You know, when Jesus, they kicked him out of Nazareth, took him to the brow of the hill. You know, he went on down to Capernaum and started manifesting down in Capernaum. And now they said, well, we saw certainly the Lord's with you. This is called kiss up time. They're kissing up right now. Brown nose, and you got the picture. The king of Abimelech is doing some serious brown nosing right now. He said, we know that you're blessed of the Lord. Don't worry about it. I kicked you out of the city. I am your friend now. Because I got to get what's on your life on me. And he made them a feast. And they did eat and drink. They rose up, beat times in the morning, swore one to another. And Isaac sent them away. Hey, it's better to have a friend as a king than an enemy. Especially if you're down in the valley. Hey, look, if the king wants to come make friends with you, make friends with them. People that hated you and kicked you out, be wise, but be friends. I'd rather have them as friends than enemies. Verse 32, it came to pass that day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning. While they're having a meeting with the king, they find more water. Look at that. The well which they had digged, they said to them, we have found water. That's like, right now we have found gold. Do you know you got it on the inside of you? I had no idea. That's just not presence down there. That's just not feel good stuff coming up. You don't understand when the fullness of God starts coming up out of you. The Holy Ghost, when it gets out of sight of you into a position of flow, when it gets into the atmosphere of your life, the Holy Spirit is authorized to transmit and materialize that spiritual water into blessings here in the earth, into power, into manifestations, into demonstrations, into favor, into wisdom, into glory. He's authorized because it's now not water stagnant in a well. That water's come up like a geyser well, and it's now flowing. We got to get our water flowing. We got to say, we have found water. I come to tell you, I have found water. I have found water. I know what's in it. We've been on a long journey. I know the inheritance he received at the right hand of God is in my well. He brought it. The Holy Ghost brought it in the form of an eternal wellspring of water. And he's the one that's going to draw it up. Whew, we are close. Go to Numbers chapter 20. Can't tell you about your water and not tell you how to draw it up. Something about this water, you cannot draw it up in the natural. You cannot draw it up by your mind. You cannot draw it up by the energy of your flesh. You can stop it by your flesh. Flesh is the number one thing that stops your well. This well going to be full. You're going to have to be full of God. That's why he said, you abide in me and I abide in you. Then you'll bear the fruit, because I'm going to assure you the wellspring flowing. Verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses, Numbers 27, take thy rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, speak, say speak, unto the rock before their eyes, and it'll give forth, look at this, it didn't say its water, it says his water. Because in 1 Corinthians 10, it said that rock that followed them was Christ. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a rock follow me. There was a big rock that followed them in the wilderness. Cloud by day, fire by night, manna, and a big rock that followed them around. Now, who ever heard of getting water out of a rock? And more important, how would you like to stand before 3 million people and God tells you, look, there's going to be water that's going to flow from that rock. Water. It's going to feed everybody in this desert. You're going to have to talk to that rock. So Moses comes and he goes like this. He goes, gather together, assembly here today. Gather together. The Lord has spoken to me. That thing that's been following us all this time, it has water in it. And we're going to go get that water. Who's with me? And he told me this. He goes, we got to speak to that thing and the water will come out. Anybody with me? The rock was Christ. I'm telling you the same thing today. You got a rock that's following you around because the rock of Christ is in the kingdom of God within you. And it's full of water. And the way you're going to draw it out is speak to it. What I come for, you got the promises of God in me, is a wellspring of water. Out of my belly shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Oh, flow. Spring up, spring up, spring up, spring up, spring up, spring up. I speak to this rock. Spring up. I speak to the living waters. That's how you're going to dig. That's how you're going to get that water. You're going to have to speak, speak, and not grow weak. Speak, speak. And not grow weak. You got to speak to the water because you got to know what's in there. And if you're bold enough to do it, some of you say, man, that is the craziest guy I've ever heard. They probably said that about Moses too until the water started flowing. I don't know about you, but I am determined to start paying attention to the well inside me. And when that well is dry, the water has stopped flowing. It's because the enemy, through my ignorance, is plugging my well. And I'm going to get it opened again. Offenses, trespasses, the love of the world system, flesh, all that will plug your well. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, blessings will start arriving in your life. It's automatic. What did Moses do? He got mad at him. He said, fetch you rebels. And he smote the rock. He hit it twice. That's what got him in trouble. Because that rock was Christ. He was only going to be smoked one time. He hit it twice. He was angry. God says, speak to the rock. The rock of Christ is the full inheritance is in the rock of God inside you. What we are going to get very advanced at now that we've been down this long is how to get that water flowing. Because one thing's for sure, every one of us are going to get mighty, mighty filled with the Holy Ghost. We're all baptized in the Holy Ghost. We're now going to get filled. And they being full of the Holy Ghost. It will be said of us, they are full of the Holy Ghost. Because when that stuff starts coming up out into the atmosphere, he starts manifesting glory, manifesting miracles, manifesting the kingdom of God. It's automatic. You don't have to work at it. The reason we're working at it, because no water's flowing. When the water starts flowing, it's automatic. God will put you before people. He'll put you before kings. He'll put you before people that need salvation. He'll put you right in the middle of your family and you start interceding. They just stop fighting.